Right now, it is time for Arts Live and Local. This is Carol, your host. And Arts Live and Local is sponsored in part by the Astor Street Opry Company's 30th season of Shanghai in Astoria. Opening, well, it's opening Thursday, July 10th. Information and tickets available by calling 503-325-6104 or AstorStreetOperyCompany.com. But if you don't want to wait till July 10th, you can check in this weekend and next weekend because Astor Street Opry Company's Junior Shanghai opens tonight, Friday and Saturday at 7, Sunday at 2, this weekend and next weekend. Bravo. The rain came and cooled us down a little bit, which is good because we don't want any fires here because we are fiery enough with all of our arts going on. Yes, the Astoria Music Festival opens tonight. We'll be hearing more from some of the performers later on in the show. And we have art camps opening up all over town and beyond. And we'll hear about that a little bit later as well. And tomorrow night is Arts Astoria Arts Night Out. And we're going to hear about that very soon. But first, of course, we're going to have a little bit of music. And this comes from a group that is playing tonight at the Big O. That would be only at 8 o'clock. The group is Sarsaparilla. Some of you have heard them before. They are terrific. Just sent me a double album, brand new, Pasajero Hullabaloo. We're going to hear from the second part. Thanks for being here. Welcome. And get your calendars ready to go.
Out of 50 states, holding back, holding out, headed down. See me on the streets, kicking up dust, disturbing the peace, holding back, holding out, headed down. Folks like us, we got no one to blame but ourselves. Folks like us, we got nothing to give but our farewells. When you lost like me, child, when you're lost like me, child, if the Lord comes calling, tell him I'll be back. Hey, can I come home with you? Not a lot of trouble, don't need a lot of room. Holding back, holding out, headed down. Jump on that southbound train, gambling with the devil, drinking with the saints. Holding back, holding out, headed down. Folks like us, we got no one to blame but ourselves. Folks like us, we got nothing to give but our farewells. When you're lost like me, child, when you're lost like me, son, if the Lord comes calling, tell him I'll be back. Prodigal child, 50 states, holding back, holding out, headed down. Folks like us, we got no one to blame but ourselves. Folks like us, we got nothing to give but our farewells. When you're lost like me, child, when you're lost like me, child, if the Lord comes calling, tell him I'll be back. Folks like us, we got no one to blame but ourselves. Folks like us, we got nothing to give but our farewells. When you're lost like me, child, when you're lost like me, child, if the Lord comes calling, tell him I'll be back. If the Lord comes calling, tell him I'll be back.
and that is from Sarsaparilla. And, yeah, well, I have some paperwork on it to tell you the difference between the two albums. This is what we just heard is from Hullabaloo, which is Go With The Flow music, and Pasajera, I don't know how they pronounce it, but maybe they say Pasajero, who knows, you know. But they're great musicians, and that one is more studio work, they say, closer to what they've done before. Kevin Blackwell, Ross McDonald, Colin McDonald, Justin Burkhart, and Naima Muntal. And we may hear more from them from their other album, depending on our timing. Right now, I have in the studio one old timer. Nothing to do with age, of course.
Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. And I understand we may have a radio virgin. Is that right, Steve?
Yes, yes.
Oh, shucks. That's lovely. This is a... wait till you meet this man. You won't think of him as a virgin, but, you know, he's... but here he is, right in front of our eyes. Well, welcome. We're delighted to have you
Thank
here.
Thank you very much. It's
and especially because your artwork is fabulous.
Thank you very
much.
Yeah.
So I need for you to... for you to explain, let me just say this is Dulcie Taylor is from Old Town Framing, and this is Second Saturday Art Walk, is that?
Yes, indeed.
Is that what we call it these days?
Yes, we call it that.
It's good to have someone who knows what she speaks. You hear Dulcie on the radio a lot because she's also the president, is it?
President, yes.
Of the ADHD.
Yeah, ADHDA.
I almost forgot that.
Who sponsors the Second Saturday Art Walk.
Right. That's why she knows so much.
Along with the galleries and participants on the map.
Which is fabulous. And we'll hear who else is going to be doing stuff. But, Steve, have you shown before in Astoria?
I had one show before, also at Old Town Framing, at Dulcie's shop.
How long have you been making art?
Well, I've been doing it off and on most of my life. I mean... from junior high on, pretty much.
And you went to school in
Warrenton. Yeah.
Did you get encouragement? Were there art classes?
Or? Yeah, huge encouragement.
In school?
Yes, from my art
great.
Teacher, Miss Denny Floyd.
All right, hats off.
A little shout out to her.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, she recognized some talent in me early on.
So were actually, you were sitting there doodling, and she said, "Oh my gosh, this kid has talent."
Well, it was in class, you know.
Oh, okay.
Because she did the junior high class, and she also did the high school back then. And so, when I was in junior high, she saw some talent, some spark of something, and encouraged me in when I moved to senior high to high school. She actually got me into advanced art from freshman year on. So,
bravo.
She went into the principal's office and the superintendent and got me moved up to advanced
art.
That's great.
That is great. I don't know her, but I am delighted to hear this because I think so many kids fall by the wayside because they're discouraged.
Right.
You know, they're not coloring in the lines or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the real artist teachers who say, wow, I think we've got one here.
Yeah.
Send them
Let's
up there.
Let's see what happens, yeah.
So tell us about this method that you use now. And is it exclusive? Do you work in other art forms as well?
I do work in other art forms. And my first show that I had with Dulcie, I did have numerous other media. This one... Dulcie actually approached me to do an all scratchboard show, which is what this one is.
Okay, so tell us, what does that mean, scratchboard?
Oh,
my
scratchboard.
Cat does that too, but it doesn't look like yours.
It's probably a little different.
Very different.
Although it would be handy to have that many claws to be able to do them. I start with it's a museum quality scratchboard that I purchase here locally at Dots and Doodles.
Is that what it's called, scratchboard?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's actually a board backing, so it's like a fiber board. It's a really thin,
like an
eighth inch
board or something.
Yeah, an eighth inch fiber board, and then over top of that board they lay it's like a plaster almost, a thin layer of white plaster, and then over top of that they lay India ink, black India ink.
So it comes black.
It comes black. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So you're starting in the negative and bringing in the light. So it's just the opposite of, like Dulcie says, it's just the opposite of drawing on a white piece of paper and shading. You're actually doing the opposite. You have the shadows already. You're creating the light.
So what do you use to scratch?
Personally, I've tried other different tools, yeah. But I favor just an X-Acto knife.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't use it to cut the way you would with an X-Acto knife, usually.
I'm usually using the back of it. I'm using the tip to scratch, and I'm getting really fine lines. And depending on pressure that I put on it, it either goes deeper and I get a wider scratch into the plaster through the ink, or, of course, lighter and get smaller.
So the scratch actually goes into the plastic, to the plaster.
It goes into the plaster.
Into the white.
The white plaster underneath the India ink. So you're scratching through the black to release the white.
Okay, and then how do you get the shadows? You said the shadows are already there.
Well, it already comes black, so all you're doing is you're working. It's kind of like flipping your brain over.
It's totally flipping your brain. I have trouble even considering it.
Well, I'm just wondering, do you do a lighter scratch? You said wideness is different.
Yeah,
but
how
is
heavy
it
your
also,
hand is.
How heavy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you'd get a difference in... Now, is that the final product? So these are always black and white?
No, not always.
How silly of me. I think that when you scratch black to white, it's going to be black and white. Okay, what happens?
Most of the ones that are in the show are going to be black and white. Yeah. Just because I like that stark contrast. Heavy contrast of the black and white. But they do make inks. The company that makes the scratch boards actually makes inks that you can use, and they're water-based, so you can mix them. To get different colors. You can do a design. You can put these inks into the design, and it goes into the plaster, and doesn't color the black.
Right. Right.
But and then you can actually scratch through that again, so you can actually release more white to do more highlights through the color. So you can really the variations you can get are pretty immense.
Yeah. Now has this scratch board idea been around for a long time?
Yeah. I was introduced to it, like I say, I think freshman year in high school. But it was very simplistic compared to the ones that I'm, the grade of ones that I'm using
the
now
detail,
that I get here.
The detail that you've got in your work, too, is just gorgeous.
Yeah.
How big is your work? How big are the pieces?
Oh, they vary in size. I've got some as small as 5 inches by 5 inches, and I've got one as large as 2 foot by 3 foot.
So when you're doing a 5-inch by 5-inch tiny
it's
little
very,
scopes,
yeah, very small,
it?
Yeah. Yeah, very yeah. small light hand details.
Oh, I can't wait to see all of them. I've only seen pictures, and I really like the black and white. And
Thank
I
you.
Like a lot of detail, kind of miniature detail
you'll,
you get.
Yeah,
you know.
You'll like this because there's a lot of, even in the large one, my 2 foot by 3 foot, which is actually a shark, you know, there's a lot of detail in it.
What other subject matter do you use?
Oh, gosh. I can do just, I would say just about anything. I haven't tried everything yet. But
For this show, most of your
everything
imagery
in
are
this
sea life.
Is sea life, yeah.
Okay.
I call the show Scratches from the Deep. So.
Nice. And going backwards now, do you draw the image on paper first?
Not usually. Not usually.
You don't just start scratching them.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah, 99% of the time.
Oh, my.
That's what I do. I do, too. I usually get reference materials. I'll get reference pictures and stuff and go from there. And, you know, I may use 3 or 4 or 6 different pictures of the same subject just to get either the shape or the texture or the light gradients that I want.
But you don't worry about making a mistake, for example?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and then what happens?
Then you throw it away and start again. Yeah, there's no erasing in scratchboard.
That's
Once
what
it's
I'm
scratched,
that's
it's
what
scratched.
I'm hearing. Does and everybody do it that way?
Not that I know of. I don't know of very many people that do it, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay.
It's a fairly unique medium.
Mm-hmm.
And Rare. even uh, even the local art supply store had one or two boards in there until I came in, and and then they accommodated me by ordering every size they can get their hands on. And
they're wonderful, aren't they?
Yes.
Them dots and doodles,
yes,
guys.
They are.
I tell Steve that his brain and my brain are totally different brains because I could not do what he does. I mean, I could draw.
Right, right.
Pencil to paper.
Right.
But the negative just, and I've tried to do scratchboard. It's just like, oh, look, it's all white now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oops, what happened? Well, we have gradients here then because I'm at the other end of the spectrum. I can't even draw. So, you know, we've got the whole gamut here. But I am looking forward. Now, again, this is tomorrow evening at Old Town Framing. And the address is?
1287 Commercial.
And the timing?
5 to 8.
5 to 8. Is everybody, since you're in the know on the second Saturday Art Walk, are all the galleries 5 to 8?
I think most of the galleries are 5 to 8. I suspect that Imogen might stay open later, but since I'm usually in my store during Art Walk and don't get to go out, that is just a guess.
Poor you, I tell you.
I know, because there's a lot of beautiful things to see.
It's wonderful, and I will say that Coast Weekend has a spread on this starting on page 11, and then they do mention some of the others, mentioning Imogen, which is 240 11th. It's on the corner of Marine Drive and 11th, and they have a solo exhibit for artist Lauren Manticon, and she has been there before and has some wonderful, wonderful work. And we have River Sea is showing Idle Hands, featuring figurative paintings by Portland artist Paul Roots. And Tempo Gallery, which is right next door to Old Town Framing. Don't blink because you may miss it. And you don't want to miss it because that's also the Astoria Music Festival office. And they are 1271 Commercial. And this is hard to imagine, but they are going to have a 7-foot by 5-foot monotype called La Grande Fifi. Oh, I wonder if it is. It's a romping dog. Oh, it's created from 8 monotype panels. Okay, I was thinking this year. By Normandy Hand.
Yeah.
And why I say it's hard to believe is if you see the doorway, you won't think there is that much space, but actually it goes way far back.
Yeah, and Tempo is kind of unique to our gallery situation in that it's a cooperative gallery.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the artists that you see in the gallery probably will be there.
Yeah, they're representing
their work
as well as, which is lots of fun. Gala is having Q-Tip Project Redux. God knows what this is. A seemingly banal task. See, unlike yours, nobody would think that's banal, but this is a simple part of many people's everyday routine, yields surprising art. So, oh gosh, I remembered when Don Frank did those photographs.
That's why this is
That's a riot. So this
I think it might be redo.
Yeah, as opposed to Redux. okay, and then also it looks like that Agnes Fields' work in progress documenting the experimental transformation of material in material resistance. And Fernhill is our glass, blown glass, right across. You can see them right from our window here at the station. They're in the Fort George complex, but the entrance is on Exchange, 1450 Exchange, and they're actually going to be demoing glass blowing from 11 a.m. all the way till 8 p.m. Now, this one I've never heard of. You must know about this. Laughing Duck Digital Pond. What's that about?
Actually, I have not met them or been there, but it is in the space on 10th, it's on 10th Street, right?
Yeah, it's 120
It's way
10th
down
Street.
That hallway that used to be next to the cupcake place back there. I haven't met the gentleman, but
It says Tom Dickerson
yeah.
will be exhibiting, quote, people who fly differently. a fantasy series combining photographs and illustrations.
Yeah, I haven't seen his work, but
no, neither. And here's another one I never heard of: Rats and Company, RATZ. Boy, yep. I've been out of town too long. These things are popping up like crazy, and this is also on 10th Street, but 260 10th Street.
It's newest around the corner from in the boudoir in the. In the old, where Forsythia used to be.
Oh, yes, right there.
Mm-hmm, in that lovely redone space.
And you know what space that is for you old-timers? That's red hair.
Right.
And peer pressure. Right. It's always been a creative space, so it sounds good. Dave McMacken. Oh, I think I know him. I think he used to show his early work in the rock and roll biz. And the Album Cover Hall of Fame. How fun. And Frank Zappa's art guru, Calvin Schenkel. Folks, this is going to be quite the art walk. And then Forsythia is at 1124 Commercial. So they moved around the corner. And they've got Michael Parker of Oysterville. Oh, we know Michael Parker. He did a show up at the college years ago together with Robert Adams. It's inspired by the trees. And we have Corrine's studio.
Corrina's.
Mm-hmm. Corrina with an E. And she's at 211 12th. God, the town is just. Is there anything else in town besides art these days? I love it.
There's some restaurants, I
heard.
There's
a restaurant or two, yeah.
Good. And some, that's art.
And
too.
Some breweries.
Oh, yeah, more art. This is a great place.
Huh? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was in Portland last night, and I sat with two total strangers, and they both were raving about their visits to Astoria. It was really sweet. Yeah. Astoria Fiber Arts is bombing the town as we speak.
As we speak,
they are out bombing. And if you heard Margaret on the air last week, you know that's a good thing, not a bad thing, because the bombing is with yarn. And they will be part of Art Walk as well, as will Bonnie Meltzer, her sculpture that is a happening thing, and you can join in and help her out with it, crocheting, etc.
That's up too.
That's up already. Mm-hmm. Oh, great. And Erickson's has North Coast watercolor artist Bonnie Belden Doney. You know, Erickson's been around forever. I didn't know they were putting art in there other than the fabulous flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of the shops, Cargo, La Luna Loco, In the Boudoir, Pat's Pantry, Winifred Byrne Luminary Arts, which is
belongs on the art walk.
Belongs in the artist part, not in the supporting.
Right.
But that's Jennifer, textile artist Jennifer Goodenberger, presenting a show of new wall hangings and tapestries.
And is Celtica in there?
I don't see anything.
Maybe they're not participating.
No, I see Holly McCone and Classy Closet, and then Astoria Coffee House. Fort George has the Zimbabwe Artists Project. I have a piece from that from years and years and years ago in my living room. It's fabulous. And Street 14 Coffee has David Pleckel. Oh, he's back in round. Good. So, folks, show up tomorrow. You can stroll around. And, you know, the truth is that if you're tight for time, the great part about the 5 to 8 section is that the artists are all there, for the most part. There's food and drink and music sometimes. But the truth is the art is already up by tomorrow. Am I right?
Yeah,
not today,
hopefully.
Necessarily, but
it's up by tomorrow. Yeah, definitely.
But tomorrow the art is up. So if you can't be there between 5 and 8 for some reason, do stop by. And if not Saturday, then Sunday. Do check out all of our fabulous art exhibitors. And especially my guest right now, Steve DeLow, who is showing at Old Town Framing, which is 1287 Commercial, with his, do you just call it scratchboard art?
Yeah, I just call them scratchboards.
Just scratchboard, not even art. See, we have to have people figure out, is this human or animal and what is it? So
they'll know when they see it.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. Thank you so much for coming in, Steve.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Congratulations for being no longer a radio virgin. We'll see you back here sometime.
All right. Sounds good.
And Dulcie, always good to see you.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks so much. I have a little bit of music right now. From the Scandinavian Festival. It's coming up next weekend, along with the rest of Astoria Music Festival. I warned you. Wonderful music from Ole Moritzen and, and they're still going, Peter Urbrandt. Traditional folk music from Fano Island, Denmark. And they will be in, they will be in next week because that's when the festival is happening. And these are the real thing. They're coming in from Denmark. So, bravo. You will have to really get a move on next weekend and catch all the goods that are happening, as you do every weekend here, because there's always stuff happening. Right now, however, we're going to have a nice long respite because my guest, Mary Beth Gloria, is actually going to tell us about something that is happening at the end of July. And there are a number of summer art camps happening. Bravo to Clatsop County and beyond that understand how important the arts are for all ages. And but we wanted to get Mary in now to tell us about it. So welcome, Mary.
Thank you, Carol, for having me.
You bet. So your 12th annual summer art camp is July 28th through August 1st.
Yes, that is correct.
And I did find, because I told you I didn't have, but I do, Cannon Beach Community Church is housing it.
Yes.
And preschoolers through adults. Oh, good.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So drawing, jewelry design, printmaking, creative writing, and yoga. So how does it work? Are the classes separated for different age groups? Or
so each class, the instructor gives us an age range of, you know, 5 to 8 or preschoolers, what age range is appropriate for her topic that she or he is teaching. Mm-hmm. And we have that in our brochure that is available at the gallery, the Cannon Beach Gallery in Midtown Cannon Beach. And I also dropped some off at the Seaside Library today.
Good.
They've been available around town in various places and were sent home in backpacks with students at the schools. So
nice.
Yes.
Get the word out.
Yes.
So when someone says I teach preschoolers, do they expect the parents to come with them?
No.
Really?
No. We have had parents stay and be at the camp with their preschool age children in the past, but our preschool teacher is Hannah Nebaker.
Well, that tells us. Yes.
You know the rest.
Fabulous.
Yes, she's fabulous. Well experienced with the young people.
Right.
And
she
quite
teaches
capable.
At Fire Mountain School for
she
one
does.
Thing. Yeah.
Yes.
And she works beautifully with children. So, yeah, you know, it's true. Often it's easier when the parents get out of the way.
Indeed.
Uh-huh. Instead of, no,
and
no,
then you don't have to entertain both age levels.
And you don't have to worry about the parents telling the kids they're not doing art right.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. The kids have a blast, and she keeps them, you know, on pace of doing different things. So
sure.
It's nice.
Who else do you have teaching? And what?
We have a wonderful selection of classes. So things are divided up into morning and afternoon sessions. The morning session runs from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. And we have Karen Miley is going to be doing our kids' yoga class. She taught kids yoga at the Cannon Beach Yoga Arts Studio in the past. And then Irita Sitz-Grabi is a retired teacher who has done a watercolor class for a number of years at the camp. And my daughter has taken this class, loved it.
Tell us what, just curious, what age is the yoga class for?
The yoga class is for ages 5 to 12.
Okay. And then the watercolor?
The water class is for 5 to 8.
Okay.
And they're going to be creating colorful, imaginative cartoons this mm-hmm. year. And then Andrea Mace, the Arts Association director, is going to be leading a group of 12-year-olds through adults in an autobiographical writing class.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. And I have a feeling that if the class says 5 to 8 and your kid is 9, but is really eager to do this, no problem, right?
Right, yes.
Yeah,
no,
there is flexibility.
There is flexibility in the ages. That's right. Kind of a range. And
but they all need to be potty trained.
Oops, yes.
Especially those adults. Yes.
I know, yes. Or yes, just to wear the appropriate whatever.
Right, right. No. There you go.
We're good. And then Lisa Kerr is a jewelry designer who has her work in the Cannon Beach Gallery. She's going to be teaching jewelry design with ages 9 through adult.
Do you have any idea what materials she'll be using?
She is going to be bringing in some special tools that she has that are lettering tools, and the kids get to hammer in different words of their choice into little charms that are made out of copper.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's going to be fun and beautiful things that they can have to keep for themselves or give as gifts to others. So it'll mm-hmm. be nice for them to create that. And then Carrie Sund is a teacher here in Astoria, and she's going to be doing a collage class in the mornings. So that'll be a fun way for kids to kind of express themselves without too much pressure about, can I draw, can I do this, you know.
That sounds like my kind of class.
Yes, indeed.
A little more open, yes.
And in the afternoons, from 1 to 4, we have a great lineup of classes as well. This time period tends to be for the older kids. We don't have a preschool class in the afternoon because
they're napping.
They're napping, hopefully. Their moms hope so, anyway, or dads. Drinda Duff is an artist who's going to be teaching a class with pastels, which is just a great medium for creating very vibrant images, and it helps, I think, facilitate learning to draw and learning about negative space and relationships of objects to one another.
Is this a 1 week? I said the dates, but is it?
It's a 1 week session. It runs from July 28th through August 1st.
Okay, so it's not even a full week then. How many days?
Monday
through Friday. Right.
Yes,
right. Got
Monday
it.
To Friday, and also for the afternoon we have Sterling Gorsuch. You must know him.
I'm looking at a piece of his work in my house right now every day. I'm just his calendar.
I love his calendar. I yes. call him the Oregon art scene phenomenon. Mm-hmm. He's just everywhere and doing so many things. And
yeah.
at such a young age, it's amazing.
It is. And he's off to college now, I think.
Yes, he's going to Oregon State and studying more printmaking there.
Wonderful.
So he's going to be teaching printmaking in a class called Making Monotypes
for
8 to 12-year-olds. So I've been directing a lot of the moms who are like, I'm not sure what my son would like to do.
Oh.
I'm like, well, Sterling is young. He's
yes.
got a lot of energy. He's a great role model,
exactly.
great kid.
Exactly.
So
for men making art, and it's being a viable and exciting experience.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
the only one I heard adults mention for was Andrea Mace's. Is that
actually the jewelry design goes up through adult,
okay.
and then in the afternoon session, Dorada Haber Lehigh is going to be teaching drawing from nature, and that's for ages 12 through adult. And then Barbara Temple Ayers will be doing her bookmaking and printmaking class, and that's for ages 9 through adult.
Excellent, excellent.
Yes.
Oh boy, you have some wonderful teachers and quite the diversity in the arts there.
Yes. Indeed.
So now, what is your job?
I am the director of the camp.
Woo!
Yes.
So did that mean that you had to solicit the artists, or do they come back year after year, or what?
We have some returning artists and some new people who haven't taught at the camp before. So yes, I had to do a little bit of asking around, and then the Arts Association director, Andrea Mace, helped out as well, pointing people in my direction who were interested in teaching.
And you've
classes.
Been here for a while.
Yes. In doing the camp, or myself, or in the area.
All of the above? Any of the above?
I've been involved with the camp for the past, I guess it's been 4 years now. My daughter has been going, and then my son went, and then I taught a class last year, and this year I'm taking over the whole thing.
See, that's how it happens.
I'm driving the boat.
That's how it happens. I suck you right in. What did you teach last year?
I did a class called Story Builders, where I just brought in a variety of art supplies, and I had students ages 9 through 12, and it was funny. All of them came in with their story idea. On the first day, I was like,
wow.
Well, do you know what story you want to do, or do you want to think about that now?
Right.
And they're like, oh, I know exactly what story I want to write. And so I just helped them bring their creative vision into a three-dimensional reality. And it was a lot of fun. They
Lovely.
All enjoyed it.
Do you make art these days, or are you mostly momming and directing?
I would say that it's cut down on my art-making time quite a bit, but I have a couple of friends who ask me to do things from time to time, so I'll do things for them upon request. And then, yes, when I have those moments of inspiration, then I definitely like to make art
so
as well.
Keep the arts going, yeah.
Yeah.
And the families in the community appreciate. And I'm speaking not, this is, we're talking about the Cannon Beach Arts Association Art Camp, July 28 to August 1st. And my guest is Mary Beth Gloria. But, there are other art camps, too, all over the county, and also North Tillamook, I know, has the two. What do you think is the value? And then I'll let you go, but what do you think is the value for the kids?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that question. This is a quote I've been trying to promote on Facebook and in our press releases, is that if you need a reason other than just making the art mess somewhere else away from home... researchers, there were some researchers who wrote a book called Studio Thinking, The Real Benefits of Visual Arts Education. And they had written a book previously that was trying to say people who study the arts actually have better test scores, but they weren't able to prove a link
Whoops.
With that. So they had to come back and say, well, really, that's not the reason we want to study the arts. It has its own inherent benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And that was... So they came up with the conclusion that students who study the arts seriously are taught to see better, to envision, to persist, to be playful and learn from mistakes, and to make critical judgments. So I feel like it's important work that a variety of nonprofit organizations are taking on and helping to augment what our teachers are doing an amazing job of in our schools, but I don't think they can fit everything into the time that they have. So
right.
It's a great opportunity and a great thing to be involved with.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking on the mantle here of running this camp, because as a former camper, not art camp, but camper, I know And I think all the research shows that, too, how important summer camps can be, because it's a whole nother aspect of life. And then, obviously, just by virtue of my being here, the idea that art saves lives is, as right. the bumper sticker, I think Lorraine made those, yes. has said, and promotes critical thinking and
yes, definitely.
And creative problem solving. And
definitely has a therapeutic value for people.
And the earlier we get the kids, the better.
Yes. And it helps and us to, it helps us learn who we are, really, yeah,
for
at
sure.
the end of the day. So.
Great.
Yes.
Thank you, Mary. Have you
Thank
been
you.
On the show before?
Or I have
you
not.
Been on the radio before?
I've never been on the radio
before. Oh, my
before.
God. That's two radio virgins in one program.
Woo! Go Carol!
No, not me. You. Congratulations.
This is very exciting. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having
All
me.
All right.
And All right.
Mary Beth Gloria from the Cannon Beach Arts Association.
Yes,
I'm
definitely.
Gonna...
If anyone wants more information, they can visit our website at cannonbeacharts.org.
Okay. Good good idea. Right.
Yes.
We have a couple of other artists in here, very creative people. I'm going to let Mary leave the room. However, I'm not going to let them leave the room. I'm going to ask them to just start playing some music first, and then we will talk to them a little bit, find out why they're here and who they are.
Mine's still in.
Now, can anybody tell us who that was just from their guitar playing?
That's Jackie Gleason.
It's, it's the Double Daves. How about I'll turn this off and you raise your mic so you can talk to us a little bit. All right. So it's the Double Daves. It's Dave Squared? Well, they are not squares, not at all. I have Dave Drury and David, I used to call him Dave Crabtree, here in the studio with me. And the reason is that they are performing tonight. Are you opening the show? Are you the first
yes,
act?
Yes.
Okay. It is the, I am delighted to say that the Astoria Music Festival begins tonight with a local, presenting our local artists in a Save the Pack fundraiser. That would be the Performing Arts Center on 16th and Franklin, the Clatsop College Arts Center, which they are no longer able to fund. And so we, the music appreciators in this town and performers, have been doing the job. And tonight is a fundraiser. It starts at 7:30, and it's packed with musicians. So do you two play together normally? I don't think I've ever seen you.
Somewhat abnormally, but yeah.
He might be normal.
No, neither of you. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Please, you know the line from The Fantastics, the show The Fantastics, please God, don't let me be normal.
Yeah.
I've always felt that was, but it's true. But do you play together?
Not very often. It sure would be nice to do it more often.
We're going to do more. Yeah. We're, you know.
Because you both doing unusual music, not for the world, but mm-hmm. for here.
Mm-hmm.
So David Crabtree, a.k.a. Crabbo, for yeah. those of you who might know
my
him
nickname.
By that name, yes. What? How would you describe your large gamut of music?
Well, I'm. You could either say eclectic, or you could say no flags, no hats, no. You know, my son said, "You know what your identity is? Your musical identity is." I said, "What's that?" He says, "That you have none."
Oh, okay. Well, I am not so sure about that.
But I'm a folky, you know.
You are
at
a
heart. I'm a folky.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
international,
you know,
folky.
I was bottle fed all the big, heavy romantics, Tchaikovsky, Mendelssohn, and Edith Piaf was blasting mm-hmm. through the house constantly, and so I love it all. I guess it's all great. There's nothing wrong with any of it.
But you also, I shouldn't say but, and you also do a lot of Spanish, Latin.
Yeah, I love the South American waltzes.
South American and music, and yeah. When he says folky, he means like down home, like Crabbo has played for dances and with all kinds of
right.
folks in this community as well.
For a long time. It's
but
terrible.
You've it is not, thank goodness. And you play solo as well as
yeah, every 2 weeks the T-Paul restaurants are kind enough to give me a night.
Right, okay.
And
that's guitar.
Actually, that piece that we just played was written for those restaurants. It's called Waiting for a Table.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of a cure for
that's
insomnia.
That's great. And who wrote that?
I did.
Ah. That's and one of the parts of that they have in common, too, is that...
Well, Dave, we want to play each other's music, and Dave's written some great. Really wonderful
right.
things.
Yeah, he's been writing for a long
patient
time.
Patient enough to teach me.
Patient. He Poor. Is a patient. Is that
he
what you're
has
saying?
To be.
Yes, okay. So, and your description of your kind of eek.
Oh,
grand,
goodness.
Yeah, go
it's
ahead.
It's a broad spectrum, too. And I kind of focus a lot now on more of a jazz style. And, but every once in a while, this opportunity pops up to, you know, get together with Crabbo and then try to go back to the little I knew about classical music, you know, on guitar. So.
And you started out as a rock and roll star, is that right, Dave?
Yeah,
Drury?
Yeah. Rock. Yep.
Rock. Yeah. Rock. No roll, just rock?
Oh,
it?
There was roll, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, it was the 60s and 70s, so.
And also, I know, isn't it the North Coast Symphonic Band you play with sometimes? Or is it the one
oh,
of those North
band.
Coast?
Okay. The North Coast Big
North
Band.
North Coast Big Band yeah. you play with. So, yeah, there's.
Yeah.
Between the two of you, my goodness, that's a lot of ground to cover.
Well, keeps it interesting.
Now, do you sing as well, don't you, Dave Drury?
I used to, but, you know, most places that I play around here, I just
do acoustic.
Do instrumental music.
Right.
Yeah.
Crabbo, did you ever sing?
Well,
solo, I mean, with your music or...
My degree actually is in voice, but...
No way, really?
It was just, they threw a music degree at me because I was in all the Madrigal groups and I could read.
Okay.
And the different things. I got to sing in the chorus of Mozart's C minor mass and...
Oh, my.
Stuff like that and a lot of Madrigal groups.
Okay.
And yeah, I've done a lot of singing, you know, but the guitar is definitely my first love.
Yeah, yeah. Well, tonight, what are we going to hear then? What are you guys going to be doing?
Well, we are going to play Dave's piece, Waiting for a Table.
I love that. Waiting for a Table. Yeah.
And a tune that I wrote called Java Samba.
Oh, they go together, don't they?
Hey,
they
yeah,
do.
Yeah. Yeah, a little restaurant work here.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we're going to play a piece by Lou Harrison, American composer who passed away early 90s, who actually grew up to the age, not grew up, the age 9 in Portland,
oh.
And then moved to, you know, the Bay Area in California, but pursued a lot of strange world-type music. He wrote for symphony and chamber music groups, but a few pieces for piano, and we're playing one that we co-arranged for guitar called Tandy's Tango.
Oh, nice. So he wrote it for piano, and you took it and...
Yeah, he wrote it for 18 cellos originally.
Oh, my God.
And so...
Now, that would be kind of an interesting concept, but I think two guitars for tonight sounds good.
Yeah,
okay.
We sound just like 18 cellos.
There you go. God, I heard somebody saying that there were like 1,400 people performing, and she said it sounded exactly like the original, and it was one of the Dire Straits or something like that, and she kept insisting with it sounded like a straight face on the radio, and I'm going, no way. No. But here you are, two guitars,
yeah,
18 cellos. So who else is performing tonight? We have Anne Bronson and Richard Bauman singing the music of Broadway, and Alan Stromquist on horn. And then Acoustica World Music. Now, do you know, is Alan doing, do you know about who else, what other people are doing, or not really?
I think that's pretty much the list. Huh?
Right, I'm just wondering if Alan's going to be doing solo horn.
You know, I haven't heard.
Yeah.
Have you?
Is that I just wondered if that's a done thing.
Oh, it
solo
could
guitar,
be, yeah.
Yes, but solo horn too, yeah?
The quality of his playing, especially.
Yeah. Yes.
Very sensitive.
Well, he grew up in quite the household, Leon.
Yeah.
Both his parents were the musicians. Now, why are you interested in doing a music benefit for the PAC, the Performing Arts Center?
Well, personally, I love that building. I've had the great opportunity to play there a lot of times, and the acoustics are wonderful. It's truly is a gem of a historical representation of Astoria, and the public really wants to keep it going, and I hope that the college too will see the value in keeping the cultural events going. And
yeah, the rest of the town seems to be doing its part. I mean, you just heard from all these galleries and art camps for children and adults, so our community college, yeah. So we're doing our part to support the Performing Arts Center, and tonight's performance does just that. You can, the show opens at 7:30, 16th and Franklin, with my guests, Dave Drury and David Crabtree on guitar. It says on guitar. I think it's on guitars. They each have their own, each has his own guitar. That would be it wouldn't be interesting. And then Anne Bronson, Richard Bauman, Alan Stromquist, and Acoustica, which you have heard, which is quite wonderful, with Dolores Villarreal singing in, I think she sings in 8 languages nowadays. It's it keeps getting more and more. People keep asking her. I think Swahili may have been the latest or something wild like that. So it's going to be quite a performance. And it's a great way to start out the Astoria Music Festival. And you can find out more about the rest of the Astoria Music Festival. Tomorrow is 4 p.m. with the matinee with Sergei Antonov and Carrie Lewis, who is my piano favorite. And 7:30 is the gala opening opera, Verdi's La Traviata, with Angela Mead, John Matthew Myers, and Richard Zeller, who nearly decapitated me a few years ago, I'm proud to say. Not on purpose, of course. Sunday, there's another performance at 4 p.m., Symphonic Sunday, Strauss at 1:50, and Mozart. And then it goes on and on and on until Sunday, June 29th. And you can go to AstoriaMusicFestival.org for all the information, or you can visit the festival office, 1271 Commercial, and that way you get to see the tempo artists at the same time. This is a little tiny town with a great big heart for art, and this is one more part of it. Oh my gosh, I'm getting a little poetic, aren't
yes,
I?
Yes, you are.
A little part of art. Yeah,
your
I know.
Art. That's great.
And we're pleased to be that. So, do you guys want to play me a little more music?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead and lower your mics again. And while you do that, I'll just tell folks a couple of other things that are happening. And my guests are Dave Drury and David Crabtree, who are, again, opening tonight at the Performing Arts Center on 16th and Franklin. And, of course, you couldn't imagine a performance without tuning, after all. That's part of the whole deal. So thank you so much for coming in,
Dave.
And
thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. I'm delighted. Now, if you were a true folk musician, you would say good enough for folk music, but yeah, you're...
What I think is a guitar player tunes for 45 minutes and plays out a tune for 15 minutes.
There you go. Okay, we're going to hear them playing a little bit of music while I tell you what else is going on. Tonight, the Astor Street Opry Company opens Junior Shanghai. It's running for 2 weekends. That's Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 2 at 129 West Bond. And the Hallelujah Girls are playing at 7 o'clock at the Barn. And that's Friday and Saturday and Sunday at 2. My Three Angels is at the Hannon Playhouse in Raymond at 7:30 Friday and Saturday and Sunday at 2. Don't forget Sarsaparilla at 8 o'clock tonight at Big O in Olney. And the Astoria Fiber Arts bombing all over town. If you see him, say hello. And then tomorrow, Terry Robb is at the Sweet Basils in Cannon Beach. And Lightbox Gallery in Astoria is featuring... Go ahead and play. Plastic Fantastics from 6 to 9. And the Tillamook County Museums featuring Patty Cassidy, Successful Gardening as We Age. That would be a lot of us at 1 p.m. Jean Barney Memorial Art Exhibit, Amazing Grace, is at the Grace Episcopal Church, 1545 Franklin, from 2:30 to 5 tomorrow. And Waikiki Beach Concert Series, Cape Disappointment, 7 o'clock, The Blackberry Bushes. And The Voodoo is featuring Andrew Andres' Collective Jazz Trio at 9. And... let's see, the Sand Dune in Manzanita is featuring the Moonshine String Band at 8. Mary Poppins is at Astoria High School, 12:30. And This is Saturday night, and then Sunday again at 2 with Mary Poppins, and then Saturday at 4:30, they have the Bob Fosse style, all that jazz. Sunday, one of my favorite groups, oh, I love these guys, Tom Rigney and Flambeau. They show up at the Jazz Festival in Seaside every year. They're at 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon live in Raymond. Folks, there's lots more happening, but I am out of time. Thanks for being here. Please, make peace.